Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Oh, where has my Al Gore gone? Oh, where can he be? Ladies and gentlemen, Al Gore has been found. He surfaced this week, yesterday, in that liberal bastion of objectivity, the New York Times, with a kind of a manifesto. You got to go in and read this stuff. Al Gore's losing his marbles, folks. Everything is now global warming. I mean, these guys have got themselves covered, man. They've covered the bases. Earthquakes, hurricanes, even though there are going to be fewer of them, they're going to get bigger, but there's going to be less of them. The sea levels are rising, warming, causing more moisture in the air, which is going to cause more snow, even though it has to be cold to snow. But these weather events, it's crazy. So Al Gore gets the Bonehead of the Week award for resurfacing yesterday in the New York Times. Al Gore, congratulations. You're Armed American Radio's Bonehead of the Week, and it couldn't have gone to a better person, believe me. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, Mark Walters. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, Seattle, Olympia, Delray Beach, Florida, down to West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, just south of Hobie Sound, and Eakin West out towards the Big Lake. You're on the Armed American Radio Network in about 2 weeks. Kingman, Arizona, Bullhead City, Arizona, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. We've got another Midwest station coming in America's heartland, but I'll hold off and can't tell you about that. Co-hosting tonight with me. Oh, he's been gone for a couple weeks, and it's great to have him back, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him in, and then we'll do some emails and run some fun clips, and we'll bring out our first guest, Sheriff Mack. Believe me, you want to hear this. Sheriff Mack is the best, and he'll be here in just a few minutes. But with no further ado, I'd like to welcome back to Armed American Radio, Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Mark, how you doing, man? Good to be back. Sorry to be gone for a couple weeks. It's always hard to be running around out on the road and missing out on what you're covering here, but I'm glad to be back with you and the listeners.
Well, I appreciate it very much, man. Always looking forward to having you back on, and I know you've been all over the place. Real quick, tell us where you're at this go-around.
We're in Michigan. We're in Michigan this week for a few days. So I'm out here doing my part, running that excursion around, trying to help warm up the eastern half of the U.S., helping Al Gore out.
What's the Gore up there?
I don't know. It was snowing last night coming through Pennsylvania. It was snowing flurries today, and there's snow all over the ground. So I don't think Gore's writing enough, apparently.
Yeah, Sheriff Mack's listening before we bring him in, and we have changed on Armed American Radio degrees to Gore. That's how we tell the temperature. It was 21 Gore north of Atlanta when I woke up today, and I may be mistaken. It may have been 26 Gore, but he's really fun to bash around and knock around. Rob, let me give out some phone numbers real quick, okay? And what we'll do is we'll go right into some emails, and I got a couple clips, and I'll let the sheriff come on and hear that as well, because you do a lot of traveling, so you'll really appreciate this. If you're interested in participating on the program, please reach out to us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, or you can reach us in the studio, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or Twitter.com/AARmark. Any of those avenues will get you through to us. You can talk to me, Rob, Sheriff Mack, and we got a great lineup coming up. We're going to talk to Sheriff Mack. We're going to talk about some grassroots in Ohio and Nevada, some really good stuff, and I feel bad and owe Ohio and Nevada a little bit of an apology there, Rob, because we've had so many current event things pop up and some in-studio guests that we had to kind of push folks ahead a little bit, but they are here tonight, and, of course, the roundtable. Rob, you ready for some emails?
Let's do it.
Take a listen to this. Now, I don't know if you had an opportunity, Rob, to listen to last week's broadcast, but we talked at great length in hour number one about the detective out in California, Roderick Tawson, and you and I spoke off-air a little bit about that situation.
Talked about it, and I think a lot of people have talked about that. I'm anxious to see what the emails have to say.
Well, I didn't take a position on Armed American Radio. I didn't let my personal position be known, and I'm going to read this email, and I'll explain why, and I'll get your thoughts too. Mark, I've just now gotten around to listening to your 221 show discussing the issues with East Palo Alto Detective Tossin. I must say that I'm disappointed in your reluctance to take a position on the officer's online comments. I get the impression that you are bending over backwards in an effort to avoid the appearance of demonizing a law enforcement officer. This officer's comments and behavior should be demonized. At issue is not whether or not unloaded open carry is a good idea, politically or tactically. At issue is not that the officer should be given the benefit of the doubt because it is impossible to detect subtleties of tone in online communications. At issue is not the fact that the modern open carry movement is relatively unfamiliar to California cops. The issue is a simple one. This officer made several comments advocating the detention, harassment, and assault of citizens who were doing nothing illegal. Proning out and pointing a duty weapon at a person for no other reason than the lawful carry of a pistol is assault. Going to rights groups meetings to laugh at them and pointing guns at certain groups of people who are engaged in illegal activity is harassment. Law enforcement officers are trusted with privileges and responsibilities that go above and beyond what we expect of the average citizen. It is for this reason that they must be held to a higher standard of behavior and knowledge of the law. Unfortunately, this is not the case. We are told that our ignorance of the law is no excuse for illegal behavior, yet law enforcement officers are not held to this standard. They get to point their guns at people who are doing nothing wrong, and all you want to say is, hey, give him a break. He hasn't seen this too much before. Tossin makes it clear in his comments that he knows what the open carriers are doing and why they are doing it. He also makes it clear that he is going to use the power of his badge to enforce his personal opinion. Even worse, he professes that he will continue to enforce his opinion at the point of a gun. For this, he should be roundly and loudly condemned. Love the show. Keep up the great work. That's from Ben in Ackworth, Georgia. Ben, thank you very much for the email, and we're going to go ahead and answer that for you. Rob, what are your thoughts on that?
As you guys covered last week, and as a lot of people have been talking about, it's an incredibly complicated situation. When it comes to law enforcement officers, when I'm providing training law enforcement officers, I will honestly say that my guidance on when it's appropriate to bring the firearm out is very similar to when it's appropriate for anyone to bring their firearm out, and that is when you perceive the need to. There are times in law enforcement where that probably happens faster and more often than it does for the average concealed carry person because, quite frankly, the law enforcement officers with the badges and the flashy red and blue lights are the ones that go towards the danger. When a law enforcement officer is sent into an unknown situation and there's a firearm present, it is a pretty standard operating procedure to then get one step ahead. You know, we know that reaction is always going to be beat by action. Whenever someone comes at us with a firearm, we're going to be behind the curve if that firearm's inside of our holster. If the firearm goes to a ready position, we are now prepared to deal with that potential threat. And if that's the position from which a law enforcement officer ends up confronting someone who's legally carrying that the officer did not know was legally carrying, I think that officer is in the right. On the other hand, obviously, if we're talking about abuse of power, then I don't think that officer is in the right. And that's really the crux of this question is, was this a spouting off online and an ill-thought and ill-considered statement that has been retracted and he's been condemned for it as department? I honestly don't know what's happened in the aftermath of this, but I do know that the reaction of all police officers are Nazis is ridiculous. And I know that the reaction of he's a police officer, there's no way he could be doing anything wrong is equally as ridiculous.
Very well said. Now, I made it clear last week that I didn't take a position on that, and that kind of echoes why I didn't take a position first. Ben, I appreciate the email very much. I'm not here to take a position. I'm here to present it to you and let the listener decide, and that's exactly what I want to do. There are an awful lot of extenuating circumstances here, Rob, and I quoted you extensively when I kept repeating, as you like to say, there's just a lot going on there.
There really is.
Sure.
It's unfortunate that this has become something that once again seems to pit law enforcement and people who want to be legally armed against one another. And I think that also is equally as ridiculous. You know, I can remember being on Capitol Hill with the NRA representatives lobbying for H.R. 218. And it was actually another bill number back then, back when I was in law enforcement. And, the idea was when we get national concealed carry for law enforcement officers, that'll get us one step closer to national reciprocity and national concealed carry for everybody else. And I still think that is the direction we're moving in. I think that law enforcement is overwhelmingly a great ally to the armed citizen. And one individual who may or may not be shouldn't cloud that issue.
No, I agree. And, this thing is still playing itself out. Now, we're being listened to in Modesto, California. stretching, you know, depending on the signal, from Sacramento down to San Jose and out into the East Bay Area, where you've spent some time just recently, actually.
Yeah, I was actually out there right before this all happened, and people were talking about the open carry at the Starbucks, and there's a couple other chains that were actually telling customers they didn't want them to have their firearms, and Starbucks was saying, hey, it's legal, it's fine with us, come get your coffee, and, you know, whatever. We'll feel a little safer, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what, Ben, I appreciate it. What we're going to do is we're going to watch this thing play out. I haven't seen any more. We'll continue to follow it. I thought the comments taken in the context that I read them were reprehensible, and it did seem abhorrent to me. However, there's extenuating circumstances that we're not aware of. Let's let this thing play out, and then we'll figure out where to go from there. I'm sure he is regretting making those comments. You're on the Armed American Radio Network with Mark Walters and Rob Pincus, and we'll be right back with Sheriff Mack joining us for the remainder of the hour. See you in just a second.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? Do you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters? If so, you need to visit 9survive.com. When you do, you'll quickly learn vital survival skills such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters and the unprepared masses, Jedi mind tricks to keep you in the fight long after your friends have burned out, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. You can learn these skills and more by signing up for our free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9survive.com.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back, folks. Guess this here. 48 states can't be wrong, Illinois. All Illinois gun owners are invited to join in Illinois Gun Owners Lobby Day in Springfield in 2010, an annual event where everyone goes to lobby their representatives in the Illinois House and Senate. The ISRA is partnering with local and internet organizations to Illinois and in Illinois to increase attendance and make a bigger and better impression in Springfield. They're meeting at the Prairie Capital Convention Center at 10:45, with the program set to begin at 11:45 a.m., and that begins Wednesday, March 10th, 2010. Be there. Be there. 48 states can't be wrong. Lobby those folks up there. Rob, welcome back, brother.
Glad to be back, man. Glad to be back. I hope that they can move in the right direction there in Illinois. As we talked about at the end of last year, I was spending a lot of time up there, probably going to be spending a lot more time in the area. I got a lot of friends in Chicago. I'd love to see them get on board there.
You better believe it, man. They got some catching up to do, but there's a big, big push up there. Rob, you ready to bring in Sheriff Mack? Let's do it.
I'm anxious.
Former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, and longtime crusader for freedom and individual rights, Sheriff Mack joins Armed American Radio right now. Sheriff, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Hey, well, thanks, Rob, Mark. Thanks for having me. I think I haven't been on with you before.
No, you have not, and I can see the future, okay? This is not going to be the only time you're going to be on.
Absolutely. I would invite that. And, boy, when you have a program called Armed America, Sheriff Mack ought to be involved in that.
You know, agreed. No question about it. It's a testament to the fact that we're a free country, at least for the time being, that we can sit here and Rob and I can talk about this and, you know, the right to keep and bear arms and Armed American Radio. Ted Nugent on the 31st did 2 hours with me, and he loved it. He thought the name, he just loved the name.
Well, Ted's a good friend and a good guy, and I really love it when he gets rolling.
Man, I'm telling you. Rob, I've got a whole lot of things to ask Sheriff Mack. You want to start off with him?
I'm just, Sheriff, honored to have you here on the show. Great to speak with you. Every time a sheriff is on, I have to mention, just for people who don't know, you know, the sheriff is the original elected office in the United States. It's obviously incredibly important. There's only 3,000-some-odd sheriffs around the country. I think if I were ever going to run for an elected office, that'd probably be the only one I'd even be interested in holding. It's such an important position, and you are so passionate about what the sheriffs who are in those positions need to know about the Constitution. Tell us how that came about, because I think the listeners need to know.
Well, I think both of you know that what brought me to the forefront, at least notoriety-wise, is that while I served as sheriff in Arizona, I was the first sheriff in the United States to sue the Clinton administration to stop the incursions and criminality of the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill was the first time in United States history that sheriffs were forced to participate in a federal gun control scheme, in other words, forcing us to violate our oath of office. And there was no negotiation involved in this. There was no contract. There was no discussion. Maybe the sheriffs don't want to do this, or maybe how do we get them on board? There was only and no money, attached to do the Brady background checks. And this was the first time in history where the law actually threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. And all that's true. People think I make this stuff up, but no, truth is stranger than fiction, and this is absolutely the truth. And when I filed my court case with the help of the NRA. In Tucson District Court, Federal District Court, in February 28, 1994, the first thing we sought was an injunction against my own government from being able to arrest me for failure to comply. And we got it. And Janet Reno, of course, issued a memo because Bill Clinton told her to, that that part of the Brady Bill didn't really apply to the sheriffs, but only the FFLs, only the gun shop owners. And the judge told the federal government, Janet Reno doesn't get to change the law just because she writes a memo. And so we got that. And I've been a big advocate all across America, and it is to convince the sheriffs. And I have written a book. It's called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And if we get the sheriffs in this country to know and understand the Bill of Rights and know and understand the miracle of America, and that we know and understand that the people are what made America great, and an armed citizen brought us to the forefront of freedom in this world, and that the people possess all power, and that we as a government do not have any right whatsoever to disarm law-abiding citizens at any time. There is no, like Stuart Rhodes said on your show, Mark, a couple of weeks ago, there is no bad weather exemption for the Second Amendment. We don't get to take it away because Katrina or floods or any other bad weather. In fact, that's when people need to keep and bear arms the most. When things are going chaotic, that's when people need their guns. And so I would strongly suggest everybody listening to your show get my book. I've written two books about law enforcement, and both of them are very strong on the right to keep and bear arms.
Now, I want to talk about that first one because this is your latest book, but in the history, I mean, going back, I think it's been over a decade, you actually wrote a book that talked about your maybe evolution or awakening to this mindset as a police officer.
Yes.
Was that your first book? Am I correct?
Well, the first one was actually from my cold, dead fingers, Why America Needs Guns, and that was born right out of the lawsuit.
The proper role of law enforcement.
And then the next one was The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, and the sequel to that is actually the County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. So The Proper Role of Law Enforcement is very strong on the oath of office and my personal conversion to the Constitution as a peace officer, as you mentioned, yes.
I think that speaks a lot when someone's willing to come out and say, here's how I've gotten to this place, and not as if you were born in the perfect mold of the libertarian sheriff advocate, but actually seeing it from the inside and making that change. I think, Mark, I think that speaks volumes about Sheriff Mack.
It definitely does, because you've evolved to a point where you understand what's right and what's wrong. You're not just taking a position like the do-good, feel-good liberals that come out of emotion, and their arguments can be destroyed with fact, but you actually found yourself and moved yourself to where you are, and you write about it so eloquently.
Well, thanks. And I need to tell you, I just got back from Oklahoma. I'm traveling all over the country. If you look on my website and see my speaking engagements, I'll tell you, Superman couldn't keep up with the schedule, and it's really going crazy. But yesterday I was in Wyoming, and Wyoming tried to pass, be the third state in the union to do no permits, that you
That's
can
right.
carry concealed or open. That failed, but I was there with Sheriff Barden in Sublette County, and the sheriffs there really support this, but I am kind of ashamed of law enforcement in some respects, because it was the Department of Public Safety or Highway Patrol in Oklahoma that got open carry defeated there. And I talked personally to one of the legislators there, and she says, oh, I would die for the Second Amendment. But I just had to go, I had to vote against this open carry thing because the Department of Public Safety told me that there's no way that they could do this.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Sheriff, hold on to that thought. When we come back, I've got a whole slew of questions for you, and I know Rob does as well. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, with co-host Rob Pincus. We're joined by Sheriff Mack, and we will be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com.
Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
This Dreams of Gold moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save $1 when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
And you are on the Armed American Radio Network. Wherever you are listening, your prescription for freedom has been filled. And you are listening to myself, Rob Pincus, and Sheriff Mack, who has got an awful lot to say. Hey, check this out. I just looked up on the call commander. It looks like Bill Clinton's on the line, guys. Sheriff, I can't believe you sued me. I just can't believe you sued me.
Well, actually, Brother Clinton, you should be happy because I was the only one to sue you on a non-sexual matter.
Well, you know, let's not talk about that. Janet Reno didn't do it. She was only doing what I said. You know, it's so easy to tear those guys apart, Sheriff.
Oh,
you
have
so much fun with them. It's just a joke. Our current liar in chief is amazing. And I want to ask you about the Constitution is under an assault right now like this nation has never seen it. I personally believe that we are no longer in a political fight between liberal and conservatism. Or, you know, they call it progressive all they want. We've been under 40 years of assault. They've reached their summit with the election of Obama. They're not going to go without a fight. And I believe that with the help of the mainstream media, who I repeatedly say on this show is the most dangerous entity that this country faces with the power they have to sway people's minds, that we are fighting now not for political ideals but for our very way of life between capitalism and socialism, and it is going to be a desperate struggle. Can you tell us, what rights does the Constitution actually guarantee, number one, because I'm taking this right off your website, and I really want the listeners to hear the answers to these. And number two, do you agree with that statement, or am I off base, and am I a wacko extremist?
No, you're not. In fact, I don't think you took it far enough. I think that right now is the pivotal time for America, whether or not we are going to continue, and the fight is between freedom and tyranny. And you basically said it the same way, but I wanted to say it a little bit more specifically, that we are right now watching America die, and we have the power to revive her and to restore our Constitution as the supreme law of the land. It's plain and simply that. I think that Barack Obama is a wake-up call to all Americans, especially gun owners. I don't think you can look at all the czars that he's appointed to his administration and not know that they're coming for our guns. But if you look at the incrementalism and the Fabianistic style that that the progressives or liberals have had in this country for the last 40 years, as you mentioned, it's not that way anymore. The encroachments are no longer silent and gradual, as James Madison called them. The greatest threat, and you said the media, is one of the biggest enemies to America today, and it is. But I also take that a step further. And I've said it on my website, and I also say it in my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And that is that the greatest threat to God-given constitutional American liberty is our own federal government. And I'm not pleased to say that. Believe me, Mark. I wish to God that wasn't true. But I'm not going to beat around the bush with it. Patrick Henry and his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech is the forward to my book, From My Cold Dead Fingers, and it sounds like he's talking to us today. And he says in there that he's willing to know the whole truth and make the best of it. And that's where we're at today. I'm going to tell you the truth so that we, the people, can make the best of it. And we are right now in such a pivotal time as to whether or not America is going not just between socialism and capitalism, But it says that really is the same thing, because capitalism is a free market and a free society. It only works in a free society. But socialism is making government king, and that's exactly where the progressives and Barack Obama is at with his administration. They want government to be king. They want government to take care of you. And bottom line, everyone listening to this program, that should scare you to death, because when government suggests that they should take care of you, they will, and that should scare you to death.
It would be a lot of fun to have Ronald Reagan back right now. In this time, can you imagine? Because we're seeing an unbelievable revival. Rob, come on, man. Chime in with me here. These elections coming up in 2010?
They're going to be huge.
Oh.
I'm waiting to see. You know, again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. This reminds me of 94. I think 2010 is a pivotal year, and I think it sets us up for pushing much stronger than we did in the 90s, quite frankly, on the legislative side. And then when we get back into power, I think really capitalizing on it, seeing what happened. You know, we had some opportunities to do some things, and instead we let the Brady Bill sunset and you know, didn't really take any huge leaps forward when we had some opportunities to fight for them. I think that's going to all start changing this fall.
Well, you mentioned, I don't know if you guys know this, because this was a very well-kept secret, but I expose it in my book, my first one, From My Cold Dead Fingers. There were actually 5 Brady bills scheduled for us. Were you aware of that? We stopped, the two of us, Sheriff Prince and I, stopped Brady Bill 1, Brady Bill 2 was proposed about 3 weeks on the floor of the Senate by Senator Moynihan from New York. And it died in committee because, quite frankly, Brady Bill 1 was still under litigation and the rest of them died. If Brady Bills 2, 3, 4, and 5 had been implemented, you probably wouldn't even be having a show tonight, and I guarantee you there would not be gun shows. And we probably would have lost about 90% of all FFLs in this country. But there were some sheriffs that stood against it, and ultimately there were only 7 sheriffs out of 3,100 that joined this lawsuit, and that's still something that really causes me a little bit of a dismay. The sheriffs now, as I put in my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, they are the last line of defense against the tyranny of the federal government. And the book basically asks the question, well, not basically, it emphatically asks the question, Sheriff, will you stand against tyranny? Will you stand against the criminality of the federal government? And my point is quite frankly this, who is it that gets to decide how far the federal government goes in this country? Well, right now, it's just the federal government. They actually get to determine their own authority and how far it goes. The Constitution says the states and the people do. And even in my Supreme Court case that I won, people need to remember, we won this case. We battled against a gun control law. We did not do it on the Second Amendment. We did it on the 10th because the states have the authority and power and responsibility, and state officers, and Scalia also added, and those of their political subdivisions, which would mean counties and sheriffs and county commissions, have the responsibility and duty to stand against the incursions, and that's the word he used, incursions of the federal government. And it's a very broad case, and it was an absolute miracle that a couple of small-town sheriffs went all the way to the United States Supreme Court and beat the Clinton administration and lived to tell about it.
Sheriff, so. Tyranny takes many forms. And we have a lot of fun on this program. Rob and I had a lot of fun the last time he was on a couple weeks back, 3 weeks back. We poke a lot of fun at Al Gore. And we do it for, number one, because he's easy.
Yeah,
number,
it's easy.
It's easy. He's a simpleton, and he's easy to pick on. A politician turned climate expert, give me a break, as he's being defunct everywhere. But here's the thing, and I get a lot of letters from this, I shouldn't be driving my pickup truck because I'm hurting the environment. There's a lot of people who drive Priuses that own guns, and that's fine if that's what you want to drive. But yeah, don't knock me for driving my pickup truck to work because that's what I choose to drive. And as I mentioned, tyranny takes many forms. And the reason we poke fun at that is because that is a leap at your freedom. The global warming movement is another attempt to take your freedoms from you.
Yes.
And it's a part of a bigger picture. And well, these people are all in the same bed.
It's all about control. And, my books, I'll point this out. Richard Henry Lee, one of our founding fathers, who talked about the dangers of gun control. This is nothing new. Gun control is nothing new. If you look at Braveheart, they tried to issue laws back then, King Edward Longshanks, against them owning spears and swords.
Sheriff, I need you to hold on to that thought, if you would. Sure. When we come back, let's kind of segue into the McDonald case, which is going to be heard on Tuesday. Rob, we'll be right back. Sheriff Mack will be right back. We will be right back to you in just a couple seconds. Hang tight.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense.
Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The Streets of Gold Moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save a dollar when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title with the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Armed American Radio. We're having a little bit of fun here with Rob Pincus and Sheriff Mack in a great conversation. Before we get back into that, I would like to let you know tomorrow, tune your radio dials to the G. Gordon Liddy Show. I will be on and back in the studio here in the Armed American Radio Network studio as a guest slash co-host on the G. Gordon Liddy Show, talking about my book, Lessons from Armed America, and a couple of the folks that I wrote chapters about in Lessons from Armed America, Stephen Murphy and Mr. Jim Butler, will be joining us on the show to talk about their very harrowing experience, as well my co-author, Kathy Jackson, and we will be on for the hour, and it's going to be a lot of fun and extremely informative. So check out the G. Gordon Liddy Show tomorrow from 11 till noon Eastern, 8 to 9 Pacific. That'll be a lot of fun, and I know, Sheriff, you've been on G. Gordon Liddy, too.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was going to tell you to make sure you tell him hello for me and tell him that I'd love to do a show again sometime.
I definitely will. Rob?
He's an old friend, very good friend.
He is. He's fun. He's fun, yeah. And it's going to be It's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Mr. Pincus, the McDonald case is coming up, and the Supreme Court's going to hear it on Tuesday, Rob.
I know. I'm still hoping for 6-3, but I'll take 5-4.
Well, what did I, you know, I got laughed at a lot for saying that it's going to be a 9-0. Of course, that's wishful thinking. It should be a 9-0.
Yeah, it should. Well, now you're talking about the Chicago case, right?
Yeah, the McDonald, or otherwise known as the Chicago gunman.
I actually filed an amicus brief in that.
Well, you know, 38 states are coming to the defense of the Second Amendment, which is, you know, it's mind-boggling to me that it isn't 50 states.
Well, 38 is also indicative of how the country's moving, though.
It is. Yeah. It definitely is.
Yeah. But that's an amazing case because really it's a win-win situation for gun owners because they're trying to say that the Heller case only applies to the federal government and that the states and the cities and counties can do whatever they want. So that means if that side wins, if the liberals win and the gun grabbers win, that means the states and the counties can tell the federal government to take their gun control laws and shove them, which is what we should be doing anyway.
Yeah, and Rob, man, let me tell you something. Mossad had some brilliant comments about that, as did Attorney John Monroe a few weeks back. I had a couple folks in here, Sheriff, that were open carrying in a Georgia Waffle House that was making national news all over. You can see it on the Internet. Mm-hmm. They stopped an armed robbery crew when the scout walked in and saw that they were openly carrying their pistols. And they didn't even know it until after the fact, what had happened after the crew was arrested. But, Rob, Mossad said that he would like to see this legal open carry in all 50 states. I'm sure you agree with that.
You know, I agree with it. I still say that there's a tactical consideration. There's an issue on whether or not that's the right choice for personal self-defense. But in terms of the law of the land, I think that issue should be wiped off the table. It should be an option. Whether it's the right option or not may or may not be the case for everybody all the time, but it should certainly be a legal option.
Yeah, Sheriff, check this out. John Monroe, noted Second Amendment attorney and executive vice president of GeorgiaCarry.org, one of the nation's amazing grassroots group here in the Georgia area, mm-hmm. Made the comment that on the heels of a win at McDonald, Rob, in the McDonald gun case, that now the Supreme Court is going to say that the Second Amendment is binding on the states. We fully expect that to be the case. And you know, if it were to go the other direction, it would be an absolute shock. However, once that decision is made, now you've got to contend with open carry or concealed carry, because the Constitution, Sheriff, doesn't say concealed carry. It says the right to keep and bear arms.
Right.
So, you know, can they then decide, okay, we're going to outlaw open carry? If they do, then concealed carry becomes the norm. If they outlaw concealed carry, which John Monroe said that's probably where they'll go after, then you're going to see more open carrying. So it really poses some fascinating questions.
That's why I say it's a win-win situation for gun owners, because the liberals have really backed themselves into a corner, because they don't their view is completely tenuous. It's untenable. It's absolutely nowhere to go. I mean, constitutionally, they have nowhere to go. So they're going to be ending up with either open or concealed. My viewpoint is, for law enforcement and for public security and safety, everybody should carry concealed, not open. That's your choice, but it really presents a lot less alarm when people carry it concealed. And I just don't think that that's against the law. I don't think it creates a crime. Why are we trying to make criminals out of people or women who put a gun in their purse?
It baffles my mind.
No,
it baffles my mind. And
yeah.
Rob, from a training standpoint, because you're so good at what you do, and we are going to talk with Rob about Best Defense TV that he does, Sheriff, in another segment. You can listen in, and it's going to be really good, because he's got some really great safety and training tips and techniques and preparation, avoidance, and awareness. Rob, these guys in Kennesaw that thwarted this armed robbery were just sitting there having breakfast at 4:45 in the morning, and robbery crew guy walks in, sees the pistols, and walks out, and they decide, oh, man, you know, there's guns in there. We'll wait until they leave. Rob, imagine if they were concealed.
If they were concealed, it would have been a different situation, and probably would have been – we still would have had a robbery that was stopped, but obviously it would have been a much more traumatic situation if those guys had been forced to use their firearms to defend themselves. The fact is that those guys, the bad guy that was the scout – probably thought those guys were law enforcement officers.
Probably. Agreed.
And so now you've got the situation that happened in Washington. The other side of that coin is you had a guy who walked into the same thing, a restaurant early in the morning, with the intent to shoot the police officers that were seated there. You know, you've got the issues of people grabbing guns. You've got the issue of people being pressed into service, so to speak, or being requested to act on the behalf of others when they don't know what's going on. There's a lot of issues. I will tell you that it will change the face of the training industry if open carry becomes the norm, because there's going to be a lot of people talking about a lot of different tactics that quite frankly, we deal with in law enforcement community right now, but we do not have to deal with the average person that comes in for a self-defense course. And it's really going to change things if that's the way that the politics push us.
No question about it. Sheriff, I want to get back with you for just a second before we lose you here at the end of this hour. A couple quick questions for you. Why is it important that we not allow our means of self-defense to be taken from us? And I'm pulling this off your website, and I want everybody across the country to hear your answer on this.
Well, quite frankly, if you give that up, you're giving up your liberty. You're not an American after that. And in my book, page 178, George Mason, a founding father from Virginia, said it best. To disarm the American people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. And we're not going to be slaves in this country. We're not subjects to government. We are in charge of our government. We created this country. We created this government. The states formed the federal government. They work for us, and they have very limited and enumerated powers. And so my books all connect the dots with every bit of this. But this is a God-given right to self-protection. And the Founding Fathers knew and understood what they were talking about when they devised the Second Amendment in the first place. This didn't give us the right, and I know all your listeners know that. The Second Amendment didn't give us the right to keep and bear arms. It protected the inalienable right, the innate right, the God-given right for us to preserve and protect our own self-determination. And that's why the Second Amendment is so vital to this country. And ultimately, who has the right to throw off despotic and tyrannical government? We, the people. That would be impossible if we were disarmed. I'm the most peaceful man you ever met in your life. But I'll tell you what, when government goes too far, we have the right to rebel. And I have never advocated that, but the bottom line is we do. And you cannot take that power away from us, and if you take away our guns, we would be powerless to defend ourselves against tyrannical government. And that's where the Second Amendment came from in the first place. And all of my books are available at the website you're looking at, sheriffmack.com.
And Sheriff, that is how this country was founded. Do we need to go over the history lesson again? Do we need to talk about the revolution again? It is mind-boggling to me, literally mind-boggling to me, because you see, I have a copy of the Constitution. And I've actually read it.
As I have.
Okay, and it is a fun read. And, you know, you refer to it from time to time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard Stuart Rhodes on O'Reilly. And we brought Stuart on not to talk about the Oath Keepers, but to talk about his exchange with O'Reilly regarding Bill's very strange position on the right of Nagel down in New Orleans to strip people of their guns during Katrina. I was shocked when I saw that, and I knew Stuart, had met him before.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, we gave O'Reilly the Bonehead of the Week Award.
Well, he deserved it.
He did. He definitely did. Yeah. We changed him from Pinhead to Bonehead. Sheriff, tell everybody about your books one more time and where to go to catch you on the web before we have to close it.
The best Second Amendment book and my most recent, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, is at sheriffmack.com.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining
us
tonight.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Rob, thanks, and I'll see you guys soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You definitely will. Rob, we've got about 15 seconds before we need to go, but we're coming back for hour number two. We've got some news issues to cover, some really fun stories, so stick around, ladies and gentlemen. You're on the Armed American Radio Network with Mark Walters and Rob Pincus. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, Log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.